Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise, for you are so good. God, you are so good. Almighty God. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and ask, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, Lord. That you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. That you'd have your way. God, you are the revealer of mysteries. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd fill my mouth and that you'd speak through me tonight for your glory. Lord, that you'd open our hearts to hear what you have to say. And Lord, I pray that we'd never be the same again. Lord, in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Turn with me if you've got your Bibles. This wonderful book, the Word of God, hallelujah, to Revelation chapter 3. All right, God loves us. And I can tell you what happens in the end is we win. We already have, actually. We've already won because we're on the side of the King. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3. Who's got it? Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Everyone looks very afraid now. What's she going to say? That word that Pastor Jackie brought before about us standing on a precipice, ready to walk into a breakthrough, ready to break through. God wants us to break through more than anything. What it's going to take, though, is desperate need of God. I was preaching a few weeks back on emptiness, how God is drawn to emptiness, like the woman with the empty jars. The Lord kept pouring the oil as long as she kept presenting an empty jar. As long as there was emptiness to fill, as long as there was an empty jar to fill, he kept pouring. And as soon as there was no more room to contain it, the oil stopped. That emptiness is a representation of our thirst for God. When we present ourselves to God and say, God, I am thirsty. I need you. God, I need you to fill me. What we're doing is we're presenting an empty cup. We're presenting, saying, God, fill me. And the Word of God says, those who thirst will be filled. But God needs us to recognize our need of Him. It says here, because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing, and don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you. And this is a warning from God. Listen to this. I counsel you, this is God speaking, to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. God will fill us to the level of our deepest need. I wrote an email this week. Hands up if you get the email. Okay. If you want to get the email, you can see Pastor David. But I was just speaking of a time when I had come to the altar many years ago, and I was just complaining to God. I was saying, God, I'm so needy. God, I'm so broke. I'm so needy. And as I began to cry out to God and bring myself before God like that, saying, God, I feel like nothing can fill me. Lord, help. I saw a vision of a piece, like a big jagged piece coming down out of heaven. And it fit right into my spirit, right down to the very deepest cut. I'd been, you know, abandoned, rejected, abused, all that stuff that most people, sadly, seem to go through. But even my own personality is one that just craves the love of God, craves the affirmation of God, the love and the acceptance of God. Every one of us are made with a need for God, and we will fill it somehow. God wants us to recognize that we need Him. And, you know, the more we need Him, what I saw with this picture was the more of Him that I needed, the more of Him there was to fill. And I actually became grateful for my neediness because I recognized, I'm so needy, I can have lots and lots and lots of God. And so I began to recognize too that without becoming desperate before God, without becoming before Him and saying, God, I do need You. I'm not full. I'm not self-sufficient. I don't have everything I need. I need You every day. I need Your love in my life. I need You to fill me. And He will fill you to the level that you bring before Him. If you bring Him this much emptiness, He'll fill that much emptiness. But if you come before Him and go, God, I'm desperate, fill me, He will. Hallelujah. And so this is a warning from God. He says, get desperate before God and acknowledge that you need Him. Don't make Him rebuke you or chasten you. That's what it says. That's what He's saying here. If you look at the scripture, He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. What does that mean? Well, God's not a big, mean God that you know, He wants to tell everybody about your sin. You know, that's something that some people get very afraid of in prophetic meetings. When someone comes in with a prophetic gift, I've known of people who've been in the meetings who've just walked out because they're afraid that God was going to pick them out and reveal their sin to everybody. And the heart and the nature of God, the desire of God, is that He'd bring you to repentance with His goodness and His kindness. However, if you get stubborn, if you get so stubborn that you won't listen and you won't listen and you won't listen, God loves you too much to leave you where you are. And He says, listen to me. I counsel you. Get desperate. Come before me and buy gold refined. Buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Because if you don't recognize how much you need God, if you don't humble yourself daily and say, I need Your resurrection life in me today. I need Your love. I need You today. He might have to reveal the shame of your nakedness to make you realize, God, I really need You. You know, in this world we have trouble. Jesus was perfect and He went through so much. He went through so many trials. I'm not saying that all trials and suffering is chastening. But some of it is, and some of it can be avoided. You want to know what I'm talking about? God loves us so much, but we need to be serious about this. You know, God, just prior to this scripture, which is what I thought you all thought I was going to go to. We'll just go there, hey? Starts at verse 14, says, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, the definition according to this of lukewarmness is not needing God. Because you say, I'm rich and full and I have need of nothing. You're saying to God, I don't need You. And you know, God would rather that you were we're hot or cold, because that middle ground is just deception. You're deceiving yourself and you're making a bad, you're giving bad press to the world. See, God is polishing us up to shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life, that we might shine forth the light of God in a dark world. The church has come to the place where we are recognizing, God, we need you. We need you. We don't want to just have church and just be conformed to the world any longer. God, something's got to change. And you know what it is? It's God calling us into the fire that we might be hot, that we might buy gold from him, that we would actually be in the world but not of it, not conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's a real word. God. Hallelujah. I know that when we come to God, he promises us that he will abundantly pardon us. That when we come to God, we can't buy our freedom. We can't buy our grace. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Isaiah? Ho! Everyone who thirsts, that's most of you here. This is what he says to do. This is what you do when you're thirsty. You come. Come. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do you buy something that has no price without money? We buy by acknowledging our need. We buy by coming. Because we can't buy the grace of God. We can't buy these living waters. But we can come and we can ask. And when we come and we ask, what we are doing is we are saying, I'm not rich and full and having need of nothing. I'm coming, I'm asking because I need it. It's that easy. It's that easy to receive the grace of God, to receive the river of his life. That easy. Come. Come. Because you're not going to come if you're rich and full and have need of nothing. I don't need to spend time with God. I'm fine, you know. If you humble yourself and you come daily before him. God, I need your daily bread today. I need your provision. I need your love. God, I've been touchy lately. God, I need your power. I need your love in my life. I need your patience. I need your love that's not easily offended. God, I need your grace. I need your love in my life, Lord God, that I'd keep no records of wrong. Lord, I need your love in my life, Lord, that I would love others as you love me, oh God, that I could fulfill your commandments. Lord, I can't do it without you, Lord. I need you. And when you come like that, God comes with his daily bread. He's got as much provision as you make room for. I get a milk delivery once or twice a week. Hallelujah. Got 5 children who like Milo. But God comes with a daily delivery, Pastor Vasi, of bread, of all that you need, of his love. It's all there. And as much as you ask for will come. You're as close to God as you want to be. You have as much of him flowing through you as you really want. Think about that for a moment. That's true. If you really want it, you'll go and get it. If you really want it, you'll go and get it. If you really want it and you take 5 minutes a day and think that's enough, you don't really want it. You want a bit. You want a top up. But if you really, oh God, I know you know I want this. And I can sense it in this room. There are people here who are desperate. You know, it's better to get desperate by asking the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and to recognize your need than to actually go through a trial to have to recognize your need, isn't it? Listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost speaking to us tonight. So that you don't have to have your nakedness revealed. So that he doesn't have to come and chasten you. We love to quote that scripture, you know, those he loves, he chastens. But it comes right after this. He doesn't have to chasten you unless you are so blind that you forget to acknowledge that he's the boss, he's God, he is my life source. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have not because we ask not, because in the asking we acknowledge our need. So come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Skip down to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. You know, God is smarter than us. Look at this, verse 8, straight after that. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, God has better plans for you than you could ever make up. But when you say, I'm rich and full and have need of nothing, by your actions of not coming to God and seeking after him. If you come to God and you sort of give him a token prayer each day, or, you know, come on a Friday and sing the songs but don't talk to him for the rest of the week, by your actions, even if you mentally don't recognize it, by your actions you are demonstrating your own deception. You are demonstrating that you really don't recognize your need of God. But if you do come before him hungry and thirsty, then he will give you his strength. You'll mount up on wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Otherwise we walk in our own strength and we make a mess of things. We walk in our own thoughts. He says here, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. What fills our minds, what entertains us, is so important. You've heard me speak before on Colossians and Philippians, where it talks about setting our minds on things above, things that are pure, lovely, and of a good report. Listen, I was talking with Tom the other night, and I think it was Karl Marx or Lenin or somebody, you know, said religion is the opiate of the masses. He was obviously wrong, because religion's still going, and Christianity's still going, and the Russian Empire, as far as communism, has fallen. But that whole idea of the opiate being a drug, I think entertainment is the opiate of the church. Because we feed on it and we get lulled into sleep and we think about, we go dreaming about what we've just watched on television, and it's like an opiate. We fill our lives with it, and the more we fill our lives with it, the less room there is for God to fill. And then we say, God, why aren't we seeing what we want? You said we'd do greater works than these. And he'd go, I'd love to tell you about it, but you make no room. I'm not trying to get you into a works mentality here. I'm trying to get you into a death mentality. Where you go, help, God, you're smarter than me. You know how to run the glory gathering, God. Tell me. And he does. You know, you've laid up good works in advance for me to do. So Lord, tell me, use me, fill me, give me what I need today. Show me what I'm going to encounter. Use me, fill me. God will. If you will make room. The Bible's so clear. If you ask, He will fill you. If you come with your thirst, fill me up. He will fill us. Hallelujah. With good things. Good, excellent, wonderful, wonderful blessings of God. He is so much kinder. He will be kinder to you than you could ever be. Oh, my God is a lovely God. He is the author of lovely. He is lovely. Altogether lovely. He is so kind. He's so lovely. He's just like, God, I don't need that. He just loves you. He wants to bless you exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, hope, or think. He has really good life. His life is life and life more abundant. But somehow people fall into the deception of the enemy to say, look, this stuff will be better. Just fill up your life. You know, it's easier in the flesh. It's easier just to flip on the TV than it is to go and pick up a book and begin to feed on the Word of God or to read a great biography of a man or woman of God or feed on some good teaching. It's easier just to flip on the switch, right? Because your flesh draws you to that, because there's a war going on and the church is waking up to it. Hallelujah. We're waking up to it, and we're not going to if the devil presented himself and said, I'm going to rob you of your destiny today, you'd say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. He doesn't come that way. He comes deceptively. He comes and says, come and turn the TV on. You deserve it. You've had a hard day. But there's some good stuff on Christian television. It's awesome. Can feed it. Sometimes your flesh doesn't want to do that because there's a war going on. When you do, you feel so much better. Tom and I had a few nights off this week, and after the kids went to bed, we both had to sit down with our books. I was reading a book on worship. It was beautiful. And he was reading a book, and it was like, oh, this is nice. You know, why don't I make more time just to sit and enjoy good food like this? There's an awakening going on, and it's really exciting that it's happening. I love this day that we're living in. We are arising. Every week we're growing from glory to glory and strength to strength. We're being transformed into His image because we are hungry. You are hungry, and God is transforming us. Hallelujah. By coming to God with our need daily, we will be filled. Ho, everyone who thirsts. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Psalm 42. Lord, ama sharama se de ama. Beautiful Lord, you are good. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Hala mala, Holy Ghost, you're wonderful, Holy Ghost. How wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Hallelujah. Psalm 42. The psalmist writes, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. That's desperate. Oh, I need you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night while they continually say to me, where is your God? It's sad that so often it takes a difficult circumstance for us to go, God, my soul pants and longs for you. Though it's so often the case. I had an experience, I think at the beginning of the year, Tom was away. He was in Iran or somewhere. And had the kids on my own. And he does so much for me at home. I'm very blessed. And I was busy. It was during school holidays, and I didn't have my normal time where there was nobody in the house, and I could just spend time with God. And I didn't adjust my routine properly enough to be able to get the same amount of time that I normally get. And I started getting really thirsty, really dry. And I closed the door one morning and I just said, God, I desperately need you. I desperately need you. And as I did, the Spirit of God just filled me. And he gave me a song, which is now going to be the title track of the new album, which is going to be released soon. Hallelujah. But he gives you more than you ask for. God is so good. If you come and you say, God, I'm thirsty, God's got more than you could even imagine. It's really exciting. This is what we need to talk about with one another. This is what the saints need to be doing when we have time, fellowship after the meeting, or when you get together during the week. You need to be talking about what God showed you, what God did, what wonderful things he did. We need to be a peculiar people, not a people that looks like everybody else. I've tried the whole fitting in thing. Really don't fit in. I really don't fit in. I used to complain. Everybody thinks I'm a religious zealot. God, get over yourself, Catherine. Because you're not meant to be like everybody else. You're actually meant to be a shining light in the darkness. As soon as you try and fit in, you immediately begin to compromise. And compromise is like adding cold water to hot, which brings lukewarm. God's actually very serious about having a people for himself. The Jesus I read about, my Jesus, my God, he was very serious when he was calling people to follow him. When they said, oh, but I've got to bury my father, I've got to do this, he says, then you're not worthy of following me if you're going to put those things above me. It sounds tough, but listen, hot and cold just don't mix. God has grace for you to live an amazing, pure, powerful life where you do exploits. See, you were called for such a time as this. And God knows that if there's impurities in your life all the time, you'll crack under the pressure. And so he desires that we would be pure and holy before him, that we would receive his grace to walk in holiness. I can't do it in my own flesh, no way. But I actually have a God that will give me the grace to walk in holiness each day. If you're not walking in holiness day by day, it's because you're not going and getting the grace to do it day by day. Because you're not spending time in the Word, having your mind transformed. Is that the truth or is it not? He's a good God. He's such a good God. Hallelujah. We need to change our ways and acknowledge our daily need of God. Hallelujah. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. We forget the little bit afterwards sometimes when we quote that scripture. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And you go, yes, yes, it's because he loves me. It's actually because you've been naughty. You're getting a smack because you've been naughty. Because he loves you. So he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Some of you don't like that, but good. God gives us a warning. And zealotry is not something that just is okay, that's those Pentecostals, they're zealots. You know, I just feel more comfortable just, you know, as I am. You know, my flesh should probably be more comfortable being a nice little lady preacher who just doesn't preach anything that doesn't ruffle any feathers. My flesh should like that a lot more. And everybody love you. But it just doesn't work that way. We're not called to do what makes our flesh comfortable. We're called to be zealous. You. Yeah, well, she's just a strange lady. But God's called you to be a strange person too. He's called you to be zealous for God. Be zealous and repent, which means change your life. Don't live like the rest of the world. You will walk in the power and the miracles of God as you come before Him and you say, God, here's my cup. Fill it up. You're smarter than me. I'm letting go of my ways. I want your way, oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh God. Lord, I desperately need you. Lord, open my eyes. Open our eyes so that we can truly see. We pray that for you as a leadership. We pray that, as Paul prayed, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling. God wants us to know how good His life is, His life, which is life and life more abundant. But we must choose this day who we're going to serve. Every day you get a choice. Who am I going to live for today? And I tell you what, you choose God, you can't do it on your own. You need to get the provisions if you want to live for Him that day. It's so simple. It's so simple. But He's so good. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we ask, Lord, that you'd bless the word, Lord, to our hearts and you'd cause genuine change to come. Lord, it's our desire to be zealous and to repent. God, help us, Lord. Renew our minds, oh God. Renew our thoughts. Lord, help us, Jesus. We want you. Lord, we desperately need you. We desire you. Spirit of God, come, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.